hear what the Lord has and let us open our hearts up and receive the word tonight.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. Praise God. I'm very excited about this series. I thank Pastor Anthony and Sister Michelle for the opportunity to speak tonight. We are talking about 9 habits of healthy relationships. And how many know we probably need more than 9 to have healthy relationships? But the Word of God is sufficient. The Word of God is sufficient, and it's sufficient to help us where we're at. All right? Amen. So I believe that God wants to help us have greater and deeper relationships than ever before. And I also believe that if we will listen to what the Spirit says, He can work something in us, not only for us ourselves to become better Christians and to have healthier relationships, but that we can reach those who need us to have healthier relationships, to draw them into the church. Amen. Amen. All right, so Galatians, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And tonight it is my honor to speak to you about the first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. How does it look to have a healthy habit of love in our relationships? And I appreciate Sister Vivian. Last week she laid an excellent foundation for where the fruits of the Spirit come from, why we need them, the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and she also talked about God's love. If you missed last week, you really need to get the download. But how many of you know, whether we're talking about love between spouses or love in the family structure or love between people in the body of Christ, they all have something in common. If we are going to model God's love in our relationships, it's going to require some things of us. A lot of people in the world today is, oh, love just kind of happens or it just falls on me. That's not at all what love is. Love requires some things. Love requires words. Love requires action. Love requires time. And love requires sacrifice. If we are going to model Christ's love for us, it is going to take words, actions, time, and sacrifice. Amen? So let's get into it. The very first relationship that is affected by love is God's relationship with us. Okay, Sister Vivian talked about it last week, but God's love is the only perfect love that you are going to find on this earth. God's love is the only pure, unadulterated love you are going to find. And so she spoke last week about how many apostolics don't even believe that God loves them. Amen? So I'm just going to take a minute to reiterate some scriptures. John 15 and 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you might say, well, Sister Candy, I don't deserve the love of God. And we look at Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans it said, but God commended his love toward us. Somebody say, that means me. That while I was a sinner, he died for me. Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Drop down to verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor the depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He loves us, period. Do we deserve it? No. Can we earn it? No. Can we outrun it? No. Can we outlive it? No. He loves us. Period. Amen. If you struggle
with understanding how much your Heavenly Father loves you, I would encourage you, connect with someone who can teach you. Connect with someone who can help you understand how much He loves you. Amen? Now, the second relationship that is affected by love is our relationship with God. See, I just talked about God's, how He feels about us. But I'm going to talk for a minute about our relationship with God. See, we may be completely incapable of stopping God from loving us, but we are completely capable of not loving Him back. We may not have a choice about God loving us. He's going to love us whether we want Him to or not. But we each have a choice. Either we will love Him back or we won't. Amen? He'll either be king of our heart or we'll choose something else to reign as king of our heart. Think with me on this. The Old Testament is full of laws. It is full of religious do's and don'ts. If you were trying to live a righteous life in the Old Testament, there were certain laws that you would have to abide by. Has anybody ever looked those up? I mean, they would have stoned me in the first 15 minutes. I just could not have done it. Unfortunately, I'm not kidding. And then we get to the New Testament, and Jesus comes and He says, I haven't come to do away with the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. And He says, I'm going to sum this up for you. Of all the things that I could require of you, of all the commandments or expectations that I could put on you, of all the do's and the don'ts that I could require of you, I'm going to sum it up like this. And this is Jesus speaking in Mark 12, 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is hear, comma, O Israel, meaning listen up, my people, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. If you are just starting out your Christian walk with God, or if you are a seasoned saint, the beginning is the same for all of us. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and the first commandment concerns love. Amen? If we don't get this love right, we're never going to get this love right. If we don't know how to love God with all of our hearts, you will never love your spouse right. You won't love your kids right. You won't love your neighbor right. You won't love the body of Christ right. You won't love your dog right. If we don't get this right, we're never going to get the horizontal relationships right. Amen? We all have a choice whether we will love Him back or not. Look at Exodus 34 and 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4 and 22. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. He wants us to have no other gods in His place. He says, love me first. Love me best. Love me completely. Love me passionately. Love me extravagantly. And when you love me the way that I'm telling you to love me, I'm going to help you love everyone else the way that I want you to love them. Amen? When you love Him the way that we're supposed to, He will help us love others the way that we're supposed to. Amen? So I'm going to get into some practical application. I mean, this is going to be as practical as shoe polish tonight. All right? It's practical. Remember, if we are going to model God's love, it's going to require some things. It's going to require words. It's going to require actions. It's going to require time. It's going to require sacrifice. In every one of our loving relationships, you cannot just float into a loving relationship and expect it to flourish. You will use words, and you will use actions, and you will use time, and you will use sacrifice. And if we're smart, we'll align all of that with the Word of God, and God will help us in these relationships. So I ask you, what does it look like to love God with our words? Of course, a loving God requires that we talk to him. And we know that we do that through prayer. And I don't have time to get into all the ways that we pray, but there's one thing that I feel the Spirit wanting us to know. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. When we're doing good, he wants us to talk to him. When we're doing bad, he wants us to talk to him. He's not like impure love in the world. Sometimes when people don't love each other correctly, it's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to, you know, whatever. But he's not like that. He loves us so passionately. He's waiting for us to come and talk to him. So there's a common myth in this world or a lie from the enemy that would say, oh, well, God doesn't want to hear from you. You've failed so many times. Or God doesn't want you to talk to him because you'll never meet up the measurement anyway. God doesn't want you to talk to him. That is a lie from the enemy. The first way that we are going to show God that we love him is to talk to him. Amen? And the thing he needs us to know is he wants us to. He wants us to. Amen. What does it look like to love God with our actions? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalms 150. I can't think of a way to love God with our actions other than this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet and psaltery and harp and timbrel and dance. Praise him on stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you have breath in your body, you are able to love the Lord with your actions. If you've got hands to clap, if you've got feet to dance, you can love God with your actions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He desires us to praise him. He dwells in the praises of his people. And when we love him with our actions, he makes his presence manifest in our midst. And there is nothing like experiencing him in such a way as when we love him with our actions. Amen. What does it look like to love him with our time? In our culture, we face a very difficult restraint of time. We're busy doing this and we're busy doing that. But I ask us tonight, are you busy doing what God has asked you to do? We're talking about healthy relationships. God loves us. He's got plans for us. Are we going to love him with our words, love him with our actions? And are we going to love him with our time? Do you take time to ask God what he wants you to do? Amen. Our culture could not be more selfish with its me time. We spend hours on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, shopping, eating, Netflix, sports, exercise, hobbies. But sometimes I'll say we rarely think, oh, well, I have an extra half hour. Can I spend it doing whatever God wants me to do in that allotment of time? There's nothing wrong with any of the things that I just mentioned. But when he wants a loving relationship, you're not going to go too awful long with a friend if you're always like, oh, I'll call you back, I'm on Netflix. Or you're not going to go too awful long in a marriage if you're like, eh, I'm going to exercise. You're not going to have a healthy relationship. God wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to love him with our time. Amen? Love requires time. Lastly, love requires sacrifice. One of the greatest examples of sacrificial love is Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And if we were to model that love that he showed to us, what does it look like for you to give your life for Christ? He's placed us all in different parts of the body, and it's going to look different for all of us. For some people, it's working 40 hours a week while trying to witness to people and start a campus. That's sacrifice. For some, it's staying after church on Sundays to prepare a meal for the campus teams. That's sacrifice. For some, it's getting to church 2 hours early for music practice or for prayer. That's sacrifice. For some, it could be going without some wants in order to financially advance his kingdom. That's sacrifice. Love requires sacrifice. Amen? Loving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul is going to require some sacrifice. Amen? Amen. So that's our relationship with God. We talked about his relationship with us, and we talked about our relationship with him. But now, the third relationship that I'm going to talk about that is affected directly by a healthy view of love is marriage. And, you know, these topics are so big and they're so vast. And so I really feel to just touch on the things that I felt the Spirit prompt me to. If we turn to Ephesians 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, verse 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church, verse 31 through 33. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, we have been taught in this church about marriage a lot, and you can talk to any person who's been married for any bit of time if you need to get some solid principles. The principles are very, very clear. Love your spouse. Wives, reverence your husband. I'm just going to get right into the practical application for the sake of time. Remember, if we are modeling Christ's love in marriage, then it requires words, it requires time, it requires action, and it requires sacrifice. So what words did Christ speak? Christ always spoke with love, he always used wisdom, and he always spoke words of life. Look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Spouses, how do we talk to one another? Do we speak words of life to each other? Do we edify one another? Or do we tear each other down when we're away from home or away from church? Do we complain nonstop to our friends? Do we berate each other or constantly nag? How about this one? Do you constantly let it roll in your head? See, we have a misconception. Sometimes we believe that, oh, well, that thought came in because that was the enemy. As long as it doesn't leave my lips, then I'm not sinning or I'm not doing something wrong. The truth is we have control over our mind, and we can flat tear our spouses down in our mind without ever letting it leave our lips. Amen? You have power over your thoughts, and you can control negativity in your mind, especially towards those that you love or that you're called to love, right? So here's practical tip number one. Train your tongue to speak life. Look back with me at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love what? There are people who love the power of life, or they love the power of death. And whichever you love is the fruit that you will have. So if you find power in speaking life, like you just feel great when you're able to lift someone up or edify them or talk how great they've done or help encourage them with words, then you will love the fruit of the power of speaking life. If you love the power of speaking death and tearing people down, that's exactly what you'll do. That's a matter of the heart. So train your tongue to speak life. Amen. What happens if you don't see anything loving in them? I would love to say something nice about them, Sister Candy, but I just can't find nothing nice about them. You're laughing now, but what would it look like if you prayed and asked God to see them through his eyes? What would it look like if you said, Lord, please let me see him the way you see him. God, please help me to see her the way that you see her. He will show you. He will tell you. And then you can start speaking life in some areas that are dead. My husband's not here. I was going to ask him for permission. I guess I'll ask for forgiveness later. Long before my husband was a man of God, I called him a man of God. Long before he was a leader, I said, babe, thanks for leading our family. I'm telling you the truth. Long before I could see what was good in him, I started speaking what was good in him. And do you know what he is today? Everything I spoke. Everything he spoke. When he would come home and he would say, I spent such and such gambling. It's okay, babe. You're a man of God. It was just a fall. We're not living there. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. If you can't find anything good about your spouse, you ask God to show you the way he sees them. He shed his blood for your spouse. He died on the cross for your spouse. He sees the strengths in your spouse. He will show you, and you can speak life, and your marriage can change. We're talking about practical tips for helping us love one another healthily, right? All right, tip number two, train yourself to hold your tongue. Train yourself to hold your tongue, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you can't find a soft answer, it's best to be quiet. It's best to be quiet. Proverbs 21:23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Sometimes it's best to hold your tongue. Now, I don't mean ignore your spouse. When my husband and I were going through learning these principles, I wouldn't speak. And he'd say, what? And I said, I'm just trying to think before I speak out loud, babe. I mean, sometimes it's just that real. I'm just being real tonight. Sometimes it's that real. They get freaked out because you're not talking and they ain't used to you not saying everything you think. Maybe you need to train your tongue to be quiet. Let God give you words to say that will speak life, that will build up. Amen? Amen. Expressing love in marriage is not only about words, but it's about time. It's about time. If we're going to model love in marriage the way that Christ modeled love for his church, it's going to be important that we spend time with one another, right? Amen. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on that principle either, but I'm going to give you some practical tips. To help number one, do not give your spouse your time leftovers. Okay, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. If the time you spend together is in the morning or in the evening, either way, don't give them the last stressed out, overwhelmed, overspent, overthought 10 minutes of your day. Some personalities require more time than others. Know your spouse. Know what time of day is best for them. Give them your undivided attention and your undivided time. Sometimes if you will spend 10 minutes of uninterrupted time, they won't need 30 minutes of your interrupted time. Does that make sense? If you're talking on your phone, my husband and I have a little catchphrase. If I say, babe, I need to talk to you, he knows that means put that phone down and I just need 5 minutes and then go about doing your thing. So know your spouse. No, don't give them your leftovers. Don't give them the leftovers of your time. Amen? Help number two. This is so super duper practical. In the busy world that we live in, so many things fight for our time and our attention, especially for those with small children. We're talking about love in our relationships, right? If you'd like to spend more time with your spouse, maybe consider lending a hand so it frees up some of their time. If you don't know what to do to help them with their time, ask them. Ask them, babe, how can I help you so your time might be freed up? And then when they ask, tell them. Tell them. Don't say, oh, I'll do it or whatever. If they're trying to spend time with you, sharing that amount of time with you, tell them what they can do to help. Amen? If you'd like to spend more time with your spouse, consider implementing a family schedule. Babe, the best that we can, dinner's going to be at this time, baths are going to be at this time, family time is going to be at this time, and then we'll put the kids to bed and we'll have time together. Amen? Amen. If you'd like to spend more time with your spouse, consider doing a recreational activity they enjoy. I can't tell you how many hours I've sat in the garage while Dave strips wire. It is what it is. I just want to spend time with you, honey. You're stripping wire. Fine. Do you think that your spouse would feel loved if you offered to lend a hand, structure your home, or spend time hanging out with them doing something they enjoy? Sure they would. Sure they would. Listen, a church is only as strong as the relationships that are in it. If we have healthy marriages, we're going to have a healthy church. If you have a healthy marriage, your children are going to have a healthy example. I know it seems extremely practical, but this is what it looks like to love in our relationships. Amen? Amen. What does it look like to model Christ's love in marriage as it pertains to actions and sacrifice? What can you do to show your spouse that you love them through actions? This can be anything from doing laundry to intimate acts of love. What can you do to show spouse sacrifice? If you are happily married, you have had to sacrifice at one time or another. Amen? Amen. What would it look like to lay down your desires, your wants, your will, just to have unity and communion with your spouse? Because that's exactly what Christ did for the church. He laid down his desires. He laid down what he wanted to do. He was without sin and reproach just to get to us. So what is it that you can lay aside that you can spend time in unity and communion with your spouse? Amen? That's what Christ did for us. And there's one more thing about marriage. You will never have the perfect marriage. You will never have the perfect marriage. We are imperfect people. You will either have a blessed marriage or you will have a cursed marriage, but you will not have the perfect marriage. If you align your heart and your mind with the things of God and how God has ordained, then set up the family structure, then you will have a blessed marriage. If you don't, you will have a cursed marriage. If it's all about you and how you want to do it and you don't want to exemplify Christ in your marriage and you want to be selfish, you'll have a cursed marriage. It will not be happy. You will not have a perfect marriage, but you can have a blessed marriage where you will be happy. Amen? Amen. All right, moving on to the fourth relationship that is greatly affected, and we want to be healthy. Again, these topics are so very big, and so I'm just going to speak what I really feel the Holy Ghost is wanting us to hear tonight, and it's the relationship between parents and children. Okay? How many of you know that our society is completely anti-authority? Our society is completely anti-authority. We see it on the news. We see it in entertainment. We see it in schools. We see it in the government. We see it in the workplace. We see it from children to mothers and mothers to fathers and wives to husbands and husbands to employers or employees. This world is completely anti-authority. I'll do it my way, how I want it, when I want it, and if you don't like it, so on. This world is anti-authority, and I have a great concern. Because we live in this world, and the world is growing worse and worse, I fear the church is tempted to act like the world. This is what the Bible has to say about love in the end times. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And this is what happens when our love gets out of alignment. They become covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, which is a homosexual lifestyle, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. We're still going to go to church and act like we're okay, but deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. My concern is that because we are in this world, we can so easily begin to act like it. My concern is that this world has become so bad, I feel that people might blend the principles of the Word of God and twist them to fit their particular lifestyle and their agenda, and that is completely anti-authority. That is not in accordance to God's love. That is not in accordance to how God wants us to love. That is an exact, our world is an exact example of 2 Timothy 2. That's what our world is like. Anybody work in the world, in the workplace? This is what you hear your coworkers talking about their children. This is what it's not. That ought not to be in the church. If we're going to have healthy relationships, loving relationships, this ought not be in the church. Amen? This is what God, our Heavenly Father, says to us. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what sons is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Parents, God disciplines us because he loves us. Amen? If we are to model God's love in our relationships with our children, we must understand he expects us to discipline our children. Amen? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You are a teacher. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was having kids. You are a teacher. Train them up. You don't give one lesson and it's over. You train them every day, all day long. You do. And if it's not in those teachable moments where you sit them down and say, now, honey, this is what the Word of God says, and mom and dad don't do this, and this is why we don't do it, you are still modeling to them and teaching them every day by your own actions. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That is a strong word. If we do not discipline our children, the Word says we hate them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him at the appropriate times. If we love them, we will correct them. If we love them, we will discipline them. It is not the world's agenda in the church. It is not if we love them, we'll be their best friend. That is not what God has called us to do. He has entrusted you with a precious soul, and he expects you to discipline your children. Amen. Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child. For if you discipline him with the rod, there's a right way to do that. He will not die. If you discipline him with a rod, you shall deliver his soul from hell. We must not fail to do what the Word of God calls us to do. Amen. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof. Reproof is teaching. The rod and reproof, correction, gives wisdom. But a child that's left to itself will bring its mother to shame. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give you rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Amen. Sometimes I get so concerned when I see parents complaining about their children. And to me, my mind is saying, well, are you training them? They're complaining about their kids when the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. You know what my kid did? I don't know. The word says cover it with love. So I don't really know that you should be telling me. I'm serious. God wants us to love our children. Do you know the words that we speak? Challenge them, change them, mold them, shape them. I don't want to see the attitude of the world creep into our relationships in the church. This world is anti-authority. It's anti-structure of how God planned it. It's anti-submission. How many know that God is the one who planned a husband and wife to have children, to be in submission under a man of God, and then under God himself? That's God's plan. And they can do it six ways to Sunday in the world if they desire, but they will never be happy and they will never be fruitful. And I know that we desire for our families to be fruitful. And that's why we have to understand God wants us to model his discipline for us as we discipline our children. Amen? Amen. We're not going to be perfect at it. Maybe it was never modeled to us. That's okay. There are plenty of people that we can talk to in the church that can help us with how to discipline our children. Amen. I hear, not to embarrass him, I didn't ask him if I could share this, but I've heard several times Brother Hawks talk about how he raised his kids when they were young and going to church. I've heard Sister Cox share about her boys when they were younger and what that looked like. And I was always so encouraged because, you know, when you go in the world, you can have people say, well, why do you do that to your kids? Why do you expect this or why do you expect that? And my question to them is, why don't you? Why don't you? Let's have the proper view of discipline and love when it comes to our children. Amen. Remember that love requires words. We don't have to scream for children to hear. They're not deaf. They're not deaf. Let's instruct them. Let's instruct them. Let's pull them to the side and say, do you see mom doing that? Do you see dad doing that? We're not going to do that. Love requires actions. Play with your children. Play with them. I have pictures. I have pictures of tea parties. And I, not that I've done it right, trust me, but I have pictures where we got a refrigerator and Holly and I were laying in the box coloring outside in the front yard. Play with them. Love requires time. Take time. Listen to them. Listen to them. They're not little adults. They're children. They're gifts from God. Don't shoo them off and not have time for them. Listen to them. They have big dreams. They have big dreams. If we speak life into our marriage, do you not think you can speak life into your children? They're the next missionaries. They're the next preachers. They're the next campus pastors. Your children are the next campus pastors. Your children are the next leaders. Your children are the next Sunday school teachers, prayer warriors, musicians, and so on. Amen? And love requires sacrifice. Don't be selfish. When we were blessed with children, our lives became about molding and shaping the next generation. Sometimes we have to do what we don't want to do. And sometimes we don't get to do things that we want to do. But I can guarantee you there will be no biblical, godly sacrifice that you make for your children that you'll regret. Not one. Not one. Students, our youth and the kids that are in here, you matter. You matter. You matter. Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. Colossians 3 and 20, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. There's a misconception in the world that our children are not responsible for their actions, but I have to say, if they are old enough to make the choice to do wrong, they're old enough to make the choice to do right. Amen? With a little encouragement, a little instruction, a little training, a little rebuke or reproof, they're old enough to make the right choice. Amen. You will have a blessed life if you will align yourself with obedience. If you can choose to do wrong, you can choose to do right. Amen? Amen. All right, so we've talked about how much God loves us. We can't escape it. God is love. We've talked about how much He wants us to love him. We've talked about husbands and wives. We've talked about loving our children through biblical discipline. And lastly, the last relationship that I want to talk about when it comes to love is loving the lost. Loving the lost. If we're going to allow God's love to align our hearts with what the Bible says is right, then it will be impossible not to love the lost. Amen? Amen? If we're loving God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, it will be impossible not to love what he loves. Amen? Amen? He loves lost people. He loves lost people so much that he robed himself in flesh, was born in a barn of a virgin, made himself no reputation, was without sin, but suffered and died on the cross, rose on the third day, sent his spirit, is in preparing heaven where when time ceases, we can be with him forever. We cannot forget that we were once lost. We were once the ones who were lost, but his spirit drew us to a place of repentance and baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost, and he gave us his spirit so we can go out into this world, and what we have been given freely, we can give to others freely. Amen? Amen. We have got, if we are properly aligned, we're going to want God's love in our life, and his love in our life will compel us to go and love others. It will compel us to love the lost. Amen? I leave you with this thought. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If we get love right, we're going to have joy. Amen? If we get love right, we're going to have peace. If we get love right, we will be able to be patient. If we get love right, we'll be able to be gentle. If we get love right, we're going to be able to show goodness. If we get love right, we'll be able to be faithful. If we get love right, we'll be able to have self-control. Amen? Amen. If we get love right, we'll be able to win the lost. Amen? Amen. Let's